Grace, mercy, and peace to you be unto you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this fourth Sunday of Easter is John 10:11-16. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Please be seated. This is the text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I suppose one of the troubling things about this text this morning is the word good. Admittedly, at first glance, this certainly is a good word. I am the good shepherd is a good word because of he who he is and what he has done. He is the one who cares for his sheep, even to that point of giving his own life for them. But if Jesus is the good shepherd, the clear implication is then there must be bad shepherds. Shepherds in name only. Bad shepherds who seek not to feed and care for the sheep, but rather to fleece them and turn them into veal. Our Lord speaks about this in the Old Testament through the prophet Ezekiel, especially in verse chapter 34, and really especially at the beginning of chapter 34. I want to read you a few verses from that. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. These pseudo-shepherds in Israel were not interested in feeding and caring and protecting the flock. Rather, they wanted to eat and feed themselves. They were disinterested, or they were interested in their own selfish gains, in feeding their own bellies. Of course, we know that the really bad shepherd is none other than Satan himself. And we know that Satan would like nothing more, nothing better than to lead you away from those quiet waters and give you the poison of false doctrine instead of the green grass of God's word. The so-called shepherds of this world, those whom Jesus calls hirelings in our text, would love to see you leave God's presence and go off foraging on your own in the world. For without the constant protection of the good shepherd, you are a lamb for their slaughter. Now, I do not often do this in my sermons, but occasionally I quote one of my professors. Today, I want to quote one for two reasons. First, this professor wrote this some 35 years ago in the context of teaching and preparing his students, future pastors, the proper distinction between a hireling and a pastor. Second, the turmoil, the unrest, division, mistrust, unprecedented intolerance within our own Lutheran church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, can be traced, at least in part, back to the difference between these two words. Incidentally, this professor from whom I learned the Greek language and many other things has long since passed to his eternal rewards. But he writes this in part. The word pastor is the Latin word for shepherd. Woe to the pastor who proves to be a hireling. Lenski says, and here he quotes from one of our Lutheran exegetes about the word hireling. He says, due to the portrait here drawn by Jesus, the term hireling has come to stand for a base type of character, one who is venal, mercenary, utterly foolish. That ends the Lenski quote. He picks it up again. Here Jesus identifies Satan and all his agents. They are so rampant in the world today, in the cults, the sects, and those organizations which plainly do work only for earthly gain. And membership in the LCMS does not make us immune to all this. Jesus is not speaking of a person who forthrightly tells another person, "I don't care about you." He's speaking of a person who poses as one who cares about, who cares, but in actuality does not. And then makes this comparison. Under the guise of suggesting that the money be given to the poor, Judas was actually a thief. This warning, my friends, is a good part of why it's so dangerous for any of us to abandon hearing God's word and receiving his body and the blood in the place where God gathers his body, his church. Our problem, of course, is that there's always a piece or a part of us that believes we don't need God. Jesus' death and resurrection is fine and good, that one part says to us. But when it comes to my salvation, well, that's my problem. And thus this one part says, I'll work out my own faith. Thank you very much. But this errant view completely misses the point, and it really misses the whole point of the resurrection. Now, let me explain that. Our Lord promises in Ezekiel 34, shortly after the quotation that I read just above, that he himself will feed his flock and he himself will care for them. He will not delegate his responsibility to another. God himself will feed and take care of you. So where does God feed you? He feeds you here at this altar with his very body and blood. This is not simply a rite we do because we've always done it. The Lord's Supper is the very heartbeat of the Christian faith. All of God's work on the cross and in that empty tomb goes into your mouth and soul in Holy Communion. This is not like some option that you buy on a car, whether you want electric windows or not. Jesus is what shapes and defines your faith, for he is the one who gave you that faith. And the way Jesus shapes your faith is by coming to you in his word and in his sacraments. Without him, you are a lost sheep, hopeless and alone. But with Jesus, you are part of God's one flock, and he himself takes care of you. Listen again to that deep connection between the Father and Jesus and you. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What our Lord is saying in these powerful words is that the connection between you and Jesus is as close as the connection between Jesus and the Father. And that is a unitized connection, as Jesus makes clear later in this chapter when he says, I and the Father are one. Now, we live in a day and an age when it's so easy to feel alone or even to be alone. I remember someone many years ago saying something to the effect that today television has made it possible for a million people to laugh at the same joke and yet, same time, feel lonely. Well, I wonder what such a person would say about smartphones today. What have they done for us? But this isn't true just only of smartphones and televisions. Our lives are so compartmentalized and categorized that we can easily be disconnected from our family, from church, and it seems even from God himself. This loneliness, in some way, is an extension of that separation and that loss that we all experience because of sin, both original and actual sins. Sin constantly drives a wedge between you and God, between you and others. It creates gaps and holes of loneliness that we all feel at times. This is where Jesus' words in our text bring such comfort to the lonely and the downtrodden. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Jesus is not simply the God who died and rose again from the dead 3 days later. He is the God who has come into your midst, who binds up your wounds, and who leads you beside the quiet waters of holy baptism. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one who restores your soul. He is the bridge that reconnects you to God himself. He is the link between you and all eternity. He is the door to those heavenly mansions. He is the one who walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He is the one by whose stripes you are healed. So where does that put you this morning on this fourth Sunday of Easter as we reflect on these tender mercies, which is to say the goodness of God? First and foremost, it puts you in his divine care. That means you are in the care of the great I am God, and you are by no means alone. For he is the one who says of himself, I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. And that means when you eat his body and drink his blood here today in the sacrament of the altar, that you are connected to the bread of life, the true vine, in a way that is more profound and more deep than any kind of emotional high and feeling that you could ever experience. God's tender mercy towards you and the rest of mankind means he cares for you so much that he sent his only son, the good shepherd, to die for you and for all. And because he is the resurrection and the life, the another I am statement there, it means that this same risen from the dead son is now in your heart and soul through holy baptism, and that when you hear his word, you are connected to eternity itself. Now, that may sound kind of pie in the sky or unrealistic, and I have no doubt that in most of the world's ears, it is just that. To the world who sees only with physical eyes, and sometimes I wonder if they even see with that, there is nothing happening here. But to you, you that believe the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, God is giving you who believe in him everything that is his. Psalm 33 says it beautifully in this way, Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Notice that it says our soul. It doesn't say my soul. It says our soul. We are God's flock, God's church. We are in this together. By participating in his life, we have life with each other. You are not alone. Our text says there is one flock and one shepherd. Notice here that this one flock and this one shepherd stand or fall together, but they are individualized. We have no assurance that individual denominations will continue to the end of time. But we do have Jesus' assurance that there will be one flock. Now, in our darker moments, we must comfort ourselves with these great ones that we find in Scripture. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one flock, one shepherd. And from this text, we know that this one is not confined to ethnic, linguistic, cultural, or racial limitations. The Good Shepherd laid down his life for all nations. The gospel is to be preached to all nations. In heaven, all nations, all tribes, all peoples will be represented. My dear friends, we in the Christian church hope always in the mercy, the goodness of God. God will see you through whatever troubles may come upon you. No, that doesn't mean he's going to wave some magic wand and make everything better. Rather, it means that God will sustain you and give you the most important thing of all, himself. St. Peter wrote in his second epistle, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." God calls and gathers you together into his lowly flock. You are not alone, my friends. You are now a part of God's family. So rejoice in this great Easter mercy, for this is what Christ won for you at the cross and in the empty tomb. The earth truly is full of the goodness of the Lord. And that goodness, my friends, comes to you now in his risen Son, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd who dies for the sheep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.